Okay, we're continuing in Sefer Yeshua. We're in Perek Hei, and yesterday we read up through the ninth pasuk, where everyone was circumcised. And we're looking in the booklet now in Sefer Parshios B'Sifrei Nevi'im, and we're discussing how, as the Jews crossed the Jordan River, and the enemies are now very frightened, and now is the time to hit the enemy while he's scared. So we were shown that they did not do this. And the truth is that this could put the Jews in a great danger. So, I believe we're on page, Lamed Zion, the left-hand page in the booklet. I believe we're right in the middle, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think that's where we're at. Hu HaDavor. That's in that middle paragraph. Hu HaDavor Asher Dibarno. That's what we've been speaking about. Ein Beis Yisrael Uma Kechol Umos. The house of Israel is not a nation like all other nations. Vein Kibusha Shal Eretz Yisrael Kechol HaKibushim. And its conquest of the land of Israel is not like any other conquest. Harehem B'nei Bonov Shal Avram Avinu Alav Hashom. They are the grandchildren of Avram Avinu. Ashelo Choshes L'Dover Bizman Sheshem Yisparach Tzivol Amul Atzmo. That Avram himself wasn't concerned about anything when Hashem commanded him to circumcise himself. As it says in the Torah, when Avram did this, it says, Be'etzem hayom hazeh, in the middle of the day, bo bayom shenitztava, that day he was commanded, to yom in the day, v'lo b'layla, not at night. He didn't hide it. Lo nisyori, he wasn't afraid, lo mina goyim, v'lo mina leitzonim. He wasn't afraid of the non-Jews, he wasn't afraid of the scoffers. So that his enemies and people of his generation should not be able to say, Ilu Rainu, had we seen him circumcised, in other words, if we would have done it secretly, they would have said, had we seen him do it, Lo Hinach Nuhu, Lomul, Lakai Mitzvot Shel Mokom, we wouldn't allow him to circumcise himself and perform the mitzvot of Hashem. So he didn't, that's what Rashi brings down. So he didn't want others to have that excuse. He said, I'm doing it in broad daylight. I'm not afraid of what I represent. So we see this in Avram, Rehem Gam B'neim Shal Yotzim Mitzrayim. We see this also in the children, those who went out of Mitzrayim. Shinimul, Kal, Godol, Ifnei, Yitzios, and Midbor, where all the Jews circumcised themselves before they went into the desert. Be'esh, Shechel, Mitzrayim, Rachbu, Farash, Avalun, Lir, Vachrayim, at a time when the Egyptians could chase after them and give them harm. So we've seen it twice with Avram and the Jews before they left Egypt. So now, Rivavos Anshe Mochama, myriads of men capable of going to war. V'chol Beis Yisrael, the entire Jewish people, Einam Chayshim L'Davar, don't worry about anything. Kesher Nitztavim P'Yagvura, once Hashem makes the command, V'lo Nisyaru Min Oivim HaMakivim Osam, they weren't worried about the enemies who surround them. Achein, Zohe Achona Haruya L'Resh Teres Yisrael. This truly is the proper preparation that is fit for those who are to inherit the land of Israel. Osim be'ema v'yirason kanam. They do with awe and trepidation the will of Hashem. And indeed, this becomes the day, as the bold lines tell us in Pasuk Tes, that Hashem says, this is the day that I've removed the shame of Mitzrayim from upon you, and that's why they called it Gilgal. So in the very last words on this page, Hamakom Shaboni Mul Yisrael, the place where the Jews circumcised themselves, next page, Behikon Son Laris, as they enter the land, Yikar Me'atu Yolam V'ad, V'ed, Al Shem Amasa God Lahu, Husra Chirpa, will be called from now and forever, on account of this great deed, that our shame was removed. Yisrael Einamod Arelim Kishar Mishpachos Adamo, the Jews are no longer uncircumcised, like the other nations of the world. Elohim Bali Bris Ubanishlam, they are masters of the covenant with Hashem. As it says by Avram, Unamaltam es Besar Laschem, they will circumcise their foreskin. Ve'elaos Bris Beinu Beinechem, it's a sign of the covenant between me and between you. Val Bris Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Avinu, and it was for that covenant that Hashem said to Avram, Vakimosi es Brisi Beinu Beincha Ubein Zaracha Recha L'dorosam V'risolam. Lios lechal elokim lezaracha recha v'nasat lecha zaracha recha es eres megurecha es kol eres kanan lachuzas oylam v'yisalem lelokim. All those psukim are saying, Hashem says, in merit of this bris, I will establish this covenant between me and between you, between your children after you and for future generations, an eternal covenant that I will be for you for a God and for your children afterwards. I will give you and your children afterwards the land of your sojournings, the land of Eretz Canaan for an eternal portion. And I will be for you for a God. So the circumcision is critical for all those things to happen. Achuzas olam la'am olam eis alokei olam kibris olam. Zeh mashmaus shel mila b'Gilgal. The implications of the circumcision of Gilgal is an eternal inheritance to an eternal people from an eternal God through an eternal covenant. And that is how the Jews are supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael. So clearly, the Jews showed at this point a certain courage that was lacking in the desert. And that's what we're going to go out to the Malbim's commentary, who in Psukim Dalid through Vav explains a lot of the extra verbiage over here. If you look, the wording is quite extensive over here. And when Pasuk Dalid explains the reason why he had to circumcise them. So again, the Psukim say, because all the people in Egypt who were between 20 and 60, who left Mitzrayim, they all now died. Now, the Malbim points out, as Chazal tell us over here, though, there was one tribe. Remember, we said yesterday the Jews did not circumcise themselves for two apparent legitimate reasons. That what? You never knew when you'd have to travel. And it would be dangerous if they circumcised a child on a day, and all of a sudden have to get up and go. They didn't know when the cloud of glory would leave. It would be dangerous for the child. And also, this northern wind doesn't blow. So, and it doesn't allow healing to take place. So although there was certain excuses, the tribe of Levi and all the tzaddikim amongst them, they didn't care about those concerns, and they did circumcise their children. What about these two concerns? So the Gemara discusses this northern wind. It says, listen, nowadays we don't have this northern wind, and people, we see they circumcise themselves, and you know, nothing happens, and God watches the fools, as King David says. In other words, you do it anyway, and it turns out okay. What about the problem of having to travel? Listen, clouds of glory can go, and you could stay behind. You could stay behind, and rely on your emunah and Hashem and God's divine providence, and you'll catch up. You catch up after a couple of days. Oh, it's a little more dangerous. It is a little more dangerous. In other words, what the Malbim is bringing out over here is, yeah, listen, if you want an excuse, you have an excuse. Can we punish you for this excuse? No, we can't punish you. We're not going to say you're sinners. We're also not going to say you're Moser Nefesh for Hashem's Torah either. Yeah, you have an excuse. You have an excuse. But, it doesn't mean you're going to die, you know. They only moved 48 times when they're in the desert during the course of 40 years. So on average, it was like once a year. It wasn't often. Once in a while, they had to get up and go right away. So, in other words, first of all, the odds are that if you circumcise your kid, you're probably not going to have to travel. Right? And even if you have to travel, doesn't necessarily mean your kid's going to die. And if you just wait behind the group for a couple days, it's not the end of the world either. You know, there were other non-Jews in the world who traveled through the desert. I mean, nomads do travel through the desert. And that's the way you get through the desert. Okay, God gave you the most wonderful setting of passing through the desert with air-conditioned, climate-controlled, protective shields. Okay, so you could live without that for a couple days. It's not the end of the world. Not having the northern wind doesn't mean you will definitely die. Gemara says we don't have it now anymore. People don't die anyway. So, there is a bit of relying on Hashem Yisbarach. And it's interesting. So therefore, we couldn't force these people to circumcise themselves because they do have an excuse. And of course, that's a reasonable excuse. You can't say, oh, they're terrible and we're going to punish you, etc. So you can't do that at all. But it shows that there wasn't mesiras nefesh. There wasn't self-sacrifice for the mitzvahs of Hashem. Now, the question is, why was that? So that if we carefully look at the verses, Dalet Hei and Vav, we'll see why they did not circumcise themselves. Because it says, at the end of Pasuk Dalet, because the entire the entire nation that left Mitzrayim, all the people of age of army service, right, they died in the desert. Now, why does the Torah have to mention this? We got to remember, they died in the desert. The reason is because Betseisa Mimitzrayim, when they left Egypt, what does it mean when they left Egypt? In other words, they never purified themselves from the Egyptian impurity, and their mindset was deficient. In other words, they had lived amongst the Egyptians for hundreds of years. You could free a people, but it will take a long time till they become totally repaired from all the mental damage. You know, you see this in the Holocaust survivors. Almost none of them came out normal. And it's not possible. And that was only 6 years. It was only 6 years. Now, put a people in there for 210 years. You know, have people, great grandchildren born into slavery. You can imagine what a job it does on your brains. So obviously, they weren't in the position to be able to totally change. And therefore, they left circumcised. Because, you know, God did all these miracles to them. He says, you can't leave unless you're circumcised. Okay, so they circumcised themselves. You know, to get out, you do what you gotta do. But their children, as it says in Pasuk Hey, they did not circumcise themselves. And why did they not circumcise their children? And why Moshe and his Bezdin couldn't force them to circumcise themselves? Because the Pasuk in Pasuk Vav says, Ki arboim shanu halchu, that they went through the desert for 40 years until this nation who left Egypt died out. In other words, they were constantly traveling. So since they were constantly traveling, that's excuse number one. They never knew when they would have to get up and go, right? Even though there were other people who, like the Levites, they didn't care, right? But then, so why didn't they have the courage to do that? So it says, Atom Kalagoy, until this whole nation expired, and then it adds, that's the add, Asher Lo Shomu B'Kol Hashem, that didn't listen to the voice of Hashem, right? And, except for the tzaddikim who did, and therefore Hashem didn't give them, and Hashem wasn't going to give them this land because they knew they weren't worthy for it. In other words, so the Torah, the Navi is pointing out very subtly with the extra verbiage over here, it's because these people, you know, they had an excuse. And because of this excuse, you know, once you have an excuse, so even though there were others who did, but you know what? These people were not worthy to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't have it within themselves to have that kind of courage. So this is why these people, so the flashpoint was the story of the spies that ultimately showed that their lack of bitachon in Hashem. And it played itself out on a regular basis that they would not circumcise their children. And therefore, this generation, this past generation, was not able to go into Eretz Yisrael. They weren't able. If you don't have this kind of bitachon, you can't live in Eretz Yisrael. You have to realize that as we said all along, this, you have to hope that Hashem will elevate nature in order to cause you to survive in this land. Otherwise, you know, you can't make it. And therefore, people who are looking for excuses not to circumcise because of the dangers that are possible, there are many possible dangers of living in Eretz Yisrael. And if you're going to worry about those dangers, then you're not going to be able to stay in that land. So therefore, what had to happen was to remove the shame of Egypt. See, that's what Pasuk Tes is saying, that Hashem said to Yeshua, today I remove the Cherpas Mitzrayim. I remove that shame of Egypt, meaning to say that lax nature, that laziness or fear of not doing the mitzvah of Milah when they were in Egypt. Why was that? Because they had not totally removed themselves from the Egyptian impurity that resided amongst them, because the Egyptians themselves were uncircumcised people. And the Jewish people, although they circumcised themselves when they left Egypt, but they did not have that courage to circumcise their children. And that comes out, that becomes their shame. And for that shame, they're not able to enter. So now, the parents weren't able to go in, but the children to go in would have to go beyond that and do it. And therefore, as they cross the Jordan River, and the enemies are afraid, and they're waiting for the Jews to attack, and the Jews are not attacking, and they're going to find out they didn't attack for this religious ritual that has weakened the whole nation. So now they're leaving themselves open for attack by the enemy and total annihilation. But they say, this is what Hashem says is what we're going to do. And therefore they overcame any fears that they may have had and showed that they were worthy of living in the land. And therefore the place is called Gilgal, to show that now the Jew has removed the last vestiges of the effects of Egypt from themselves, and now we're ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's how it comes out. And therefore, yeah?
So when they received the Torah at Mount Sinai, they were not circumcised? The Jews were not?
They were circumcised.
Pardon?
They were circumcised.
Because it's still the generation that came
It was just 49 days after leaving Egypt.
Yeah, so they were.
They were all circumcised right before they left Egypt.
So they were at a state of elevation, like spiritual elevation, like no other time at that particular time.
At Sinai.
At Sinai.
Didn't stay for long, though.
That's exactly what I'm trying to get at. How come they came and they built the cup, the golden cup?
Okay, It's not the topic. So we have to go. So that's a different. It's a different parsha class. We have to go through the sin of the golden calf. It's not the topic for now.
No, I'm trying to see here in the generation that went through the desert did not circumcise themselves, but they were deserving enough. Well, they died in the desert.
So
their children to come to the rivers of Jordan.
Yes, the children, the new generation, were not born in Egypt. The new generation were born as free people. They're first generation Holocaust survivors. Right? So first generation Holocaust survivors are not nearly as damaged as Holocaust survivors. Although we will see that there was some damage, as we will see later on. But they totally were a different caliber of people. They're a totally different caliber of people. You know, yeah, who were the first generation Holocaust survivors, the people who lived in Eretz Yisrael and weren't afraid of the Arabs and built up the land, right? So that's not a question. If you're born in freedom, you're born in the desert with Hashem protecting you, you're a much healthier, spiritually healthy person than your parents who were in Egypt all this time.
If that was a desirable situation, why did it stop when they crossed the river?
Being in the desert?
No.
That desirable situation for the 40 years was what we would call, we'd make an analogous to a baby who's born a little prematurely and has to be put in an incubator. We don't plan on keeping a baby permanently to live in an incubator. But because it's a little bit of a dangerous time, we want to take extra precautions that outside germs and influences don't hurt the baby. The Jews went out of Egypt prematurely. They were supposed to stay longer, but they weren't able to survive any longer in Egypt, so Hashem had to take them out earlier. Since he took them out earlier, they were really spiritually not healthy enough to be able to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael. So he incubated them for 40 years. And he incubated their children for 40 years. And hopefully the children will be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So that's what we have there. Okay, so now we move on to the next pasuk. Each pasuk is its own topic. Pasuk Yud, Vayachanu b'nei Yisrael ba'Gilgal. The Jewish people camped in Gilgal. Vayasu es haPesach barbo osor yom lachodesh bo'erev b'arvas yiricho. They made the Korban Pesach on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, and in the evening, in the afternoon, in the plains of Jericho. So again, they crossed on the 10th. They circumcised themselves on the 11th. So the 11th, 12th, 13th, 3 days of recovery, right? The worst day is the 13th. Now you're recovered. And now the 14th is time to prepare the Korban Pesach. And it's time to celebrate Pesach. And indeed, they do Pesach at this time. Again, as we said yesterday, it's not possible to bring a Korban Pesach if you're uncircumcised. And therefore, this is the first time they celebrated a Seder, Pesach properly, Korban Pesach, in the last 38 years. It's the new generation, the new Pesach. So it's really almost reenacting everything that happened when the Jews left Egypt. It's all coming over again. And maybe a little different order. because they had to take the Korban Pesach, they had to circumcise themselves. They took the Korban Pesach, it's totally reversed. In Egypt, they took the Korban Pesach, circumcised themselves, then left Egypt, and then got to the miracle of the splitting of the sea. Here, they split the Yordain, then they circumcised themselves, and then they brought the Korban Pesach. So it's like, it's gone full circle. It's gone full circle over here. So the Jewish people are now ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. And we know that these two mitzvahs are unique mitzvahs in terms of, they're the only two mitzvahs asay, positive mitzvahs. We know that there are many, many negative mitzvahs, that if you transgress them, you get the punishment of kares, that you're spiritually cut off. But there's only two mitzvahs that, if you do not do the positive mitzvahs, then you are spiritually cut off for not fulfilling the essay of the positive commandment of this, and that is circumcision and bris milah. Circumcision and the Korban Pesach. Those are the two that stand different than everything else. And the fact is, the reason why they are different, the Maharal explains, because the bris milah characterizes the Jew as a servant to Hashem on an individual level. And the Korban Pesach is the prototype of the communal Jew committed to Hashem on the communal level. Because the Korban Pesach can only be made in a chabur, in a group. You can't bring a Korban Pesach by yourself. You have to have a big enough group to eat that whole lamb. So you have to have a pretty big group with you, and you have to be together as Jews. While the bris milah is an individual mitzvah. And that's why, and they both are part of a bris, part of a covenant and a sign. And you have to go, if you don't want to have a bris, that means you don't identify yourself as a Jew. You don't identify yourself as a Jew. It makes you a marked man. You got to understand that now that you have the bris, the Nazis can point you, single you out in a file and shoot you on the spot. Because you're giving away who your identity is. You Korban Pesach, you're hanging around other Jews. That's another way of identifying yourself as a Jew. And if you don't feel that way, if you don't want to identify as a Jew on a private and on a communal level, then obviously your relationship with Hashem is going to be totally cut off. And you indeed have no relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the Jews had to reaffirm this commitment before they enter Eretz Yisrael. And indeed, by doing so, now they are ready and able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So everything is being reenacted here, and the Jews, instead of worrying so much about going to battle and let's win this war, what they have to worry about, we have to realize that there are spiritual realities that we have to go through. We have to be able to enjoy these steps that we're taking in order to feel, again, the whole idea of eating the Korban Pesach, the Zohar says, is like you are dining with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're mamish eating on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table. So therefore, we have to feel comfortable always being with Hashem before we're going to go into battle, before we're going to conquer this land. We are not the normal conquerors of a country. We're a different type of conquerors. So now, with this complete, there's one other aspect that the Chumash Navi has to talk about. And we go on to Pasuk Yud Aleph. And this is really tricky psukim, technical tricky psukim. But it tells you exactly the order of how they ate things. You gotta remember, there now are certain mitzvahs. Now it's a machlokas in the commentaries here, but we'll give you the simplest explanation over here. What is it that they ate? They had to make matzahs. What did they make the matzahs from? Right? What did they make their matzahs from? You're not gonna make your matzahs out of mun. It cannot be made out of mun. How do you know it can't be made out of mun? They still have some leftover mun, just a little bit leftover mun in their bags. Why do you know you cannot make matzah out of mun? Okay, let's ask a different question. Can you make matzah out of rice grain? You know, you make rice flour. Why not? Why does it have to be one of the five grains? Thank you. Why did the Torah say so? Well, I know a reason why the Torah said so. Never give an answer, the Torah says so. That's never an answer. It's never an answer. It's an answer, but it just means you have to answer the next question. Why did the Torah say so?
It doesn't rise by itself?
Exactly. It doesn't become chametz. You can't use a grain that doesn't become chametz. Only the five grains are chametz. If you make a rice dough, first of all, it won't rise. And even if it did, it's not chametz. It's not chametz. And the whole vort of chametz is, you have to take something that could become chametz, and through your alacrity and your love for mitzvahs, it's not chametz. That's what a Jew is. A Jew has to be able to, as they say, live dangerously. And say, well, I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to make rice flour this year. I don't have to worry about being chametz. No, you can't live as a Jew saying, I'm not going to take any chances. It has to be, and it has to specifically have the idea, the whole message of Pesach is Rizus. It's doing things quickly. Quickly is showing that you really love Hashem. So it's got to be something that you've got to go quickly on. You make a rice matzah, doesn't prove that you love Hashem because you could take all day long to make that matzah. But when you only know I got 18 minutes and I got to get moving, so I got to go quickly here. So that means, you know, you had a lot of zeal to do this mitzvah. So therefore, you can't make matzahs out of rice flour. Obviously, mun couldn't become chametz either. It wouldn't. It's not one of the five grains. It couldn't become chametz. It's godly food. It can't rise. It would never rise. Because rising is that whole idea of the empty air, which represents arrogance within a person, and the mun was godly food, angelic food. So it couldn't be. So there really isn't where they're going to make their matzahs from. So they got to make it from the grain. And it's got to be grain somewhere. Now I got a problem. Got a big problem. Grain from somewhere, the only grain you're going to find easily is the grain that's growing in the land of Canaan. But now that you've crossed the Jordan River, the mitzvah of Chodesh now applies. So the mitzvah of Chodesh is you can't eat any of the new grains until the first day of Pesach when you have cut the second day of Pesach, really, Mocharas HaPesach, the second night of Pesach, where you cut down the Omer offering. And then the second day of Pesach, you bring the Omer offering, you bring the barley offering, and then at that point, now the grain is permitted. It's not going to help you for the first Seder night, or the second Seder night, for that matter. So it becomes a problem. So that's what it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, how it deals with this issue. It says, so the Malbim says, we're going to look at the next few words over here. There's two words in Hebrew. We've got the word me'avur ha'aretz, me'avur ha'aretz, which there isn't really a good English translation of the word me'avur ha'aretz. It means like from what was passed in the land. It really means like the old stuff. It was the old grain, avur, what was passed. So there's a concept of avur ha'aretz. That is the old grain from the old year, because it's like because of a new it's called avur because the land is passed on to making ready new fruits, new grains, because the old stuff has already been harvested and now we've passed by that, we're getting out the new grains. And the other Hebrew word is tvua means the grain of this year that comes for this year. Okay, so therefore if you look in the psukim, it says vayochlu me'avur haaretz. They ate from the grains of the past year. Then it says, Mimocharas HaShabbos. Mimocharas HaPesach. From the day after Pesach. Now, everywhere it says the day after Pesach in the Torah, it means the 15th of Nisan, which is the day after the Shechting of the Korban Pesach. So it's Mimocharas, it's the day after the Korban Pesach was brought. So we're talking about the day of the 15th of Nisan. So it says, on they ate from the past grain on the first day of Pesach. That's what they made their matzos and koloi. Their matzos, how do they translate koloi? Their corn. All right. They ate their matzos and their corn. In other words, they ate the matzos that they needed from the old grain. And they did this all be'etzem yom hazeh, in the middle of the day. In other words, that was in that essential day they did this. Now at that point, they're beginning to eat the other grains. In other words, it was old grain. There was old grain that they probably acquired from the Canaanites. There were markets, etc., etc. And they acquired old grain. Once they're starting to eat the old grain, you see, it also is interesting. It's just a curiosity. that, you know, since they didn't celebrate Pesach for 38 years, you know, that's why God, it was kind of convenient that they didn't have to or they didn't celebrate, because there was no material to make the matzahs out of anyway. Right? I mean, you know, you'd have to start buying grain from other people. So it kind of worked out. They weren't circumcising themselves, and therefore there was no Korban Pesach, and therefore there wasn't any seders, and you didn't need any matzah. Now everything's gone the other direction. Everybody now is circumcising themselves, and now they can eat the Korban Pesach, and now they need the grain, so they have to use the grain from the old grains that were from the year before. And then, since that's happening already, Pasuk Beis, Vayishpos Hamon Mimocharos. So now the mon ceased on the next day. Since they're eating from the old grain, the mon stopped on the next day after that, meaning on the 16th of Nisan. Now that they have already started to eat old grain, there's no more need for the miracle of the mon to hang on. Since Ba'ochlom Be'avur Aretz, since they're eating from the old grain, there was no longer mun for the Jewish people, and therefore, what would they do now from the next day of Pesach, from the 16th? Then they would eat from the tefuah, from the new grain of Eretz Canaan on the 16th, because now they brought the Omer offering, and now they were ready to begin eating regular grain at this point. So you see, it all kind of comes together all in one time. Now that they showed their faith in Hashem and they circumcised themselves. And this is all after everything that happened on the 10th of Nisan, where Hashem split the Yarden for them and they saw how Hashem is going to be with them and our nature is going to be elevated. And all the things that went on over there on that 10th day. And now on the 11th, they went and circumcised themselves. And on the 14th, they went and brought the Korban Pesach. And now they got themselves other types of food. This is the first time they're really eating other food other than mun. It's a very interesting transition, because the mun was mamish spiritual food. It was mamish spiritual food, because when you ate the mun, all kinds of things, you didn't have to go to the bathroom. I mean, it was incredible eating the mun. So, and then all of a sudden, they get into the Korban Pesach, so now they bring the Korban Pesach, that seems to be the time where they switch. Now that we're in Pesach, and now that we have the mun, now the mun stops, and now we move into eating the regular grain from the land, and now that we've been empowered with all these wonderful mitzvahs, you know, we'll be able to live normal lives eating normal food. So you got to realize an incredible transition has happened in these 4 days, from being a people living under the clouds of glory that already stopped when Moshe died, but now the last vestige of that miraculous experience of being the mun no longer exists, because now we are celebrating Pesach properly. And that's the idea. The mun was Hashem's food, and the Korban Pesach is eating Hashem's food as well. It's eating Hashem's food off of Hashem's table. The Seder is there. So now they're ready to make this integration into the land of Canaan, and now that they're able to eat the regular grains, now they're ready to live as regular people to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael. There were merchants. There were Canaanite merchants. They don't tell us exactly who they bought it from, but they had to buy from certain people. They had to buy it from somewhere. They had to find out some old grain and get a hold of it and use the old grain. It would otherwise be big problems. Okay, now we now conclude Perek Hay with a very, very strange story, which we'll just read the psukim, and Mirtz Hashem on Monday we'll give you an explanation for what's going on over here. Pasuk Gimel. Vayehi biyos Yeshua v'Yericho. It was when Yeshua was in Yericho. Now obviously he couldn't be in Yericho, because Yericho was closed up, but he was, as they call it, the Iburo Shel Ir. He was in the outside perimeter of the city. And that's a certain 70 amas around the city. So about there's the circumference around the city after the gates are closed. You got, let's say, 100 feet. So it was within 100 feet of the city. In other words, he's doing a little bit of last minute preparations for the attack. Okay. Now this obviously must have been taking place after Pesach is over. Now it's 22nd of Nisan. Pesach is over, right? Starts on the 15th, ends on the 21st. Pesach ends. That should be 7 days, right? And now, beginning the night of the 22nd of Nisan, Yeshua is hanging around the outskirts of Yericho. Vayisa Einav, he lifts up his eyes. Vayar, and he sees Vinei Ish Omed Lenegdo. There's a man standing in front of him. Vecharbo Shluva Biyaro, and a sword is outstretched in his hand. Vayelach Yeshua Elav, Yeshua comes to this stranger. Vayomel, he says to him, Halonu Ato, are you for us? Imutzareinu, are you for our enemies? Vayomel, he says, Lo, no. Ki ani sar tzva Hashem atop osi. I am an officer of Hashem, and now I have come. Now, at this point, he's telling him, in other words, he's a malach. He's an angel. And upon that recognition, vayipol Yeshua el panov, Yeshua falls on his face, arts it to the ground, vayishtachu, he prostrates himself, vayomer, he says to him, mo'adoni midaber al avto, what is my master saying to his servant? In other words, what have you come here for? What are you telling me? So in pasuk tesva, vayomer, sar tzva Hashem el Yeshua, the officer of Hashem, the general of Hashem, the Malach says, Yeshua, Shal na'alcha me'al raglecha. Take your shoe off your feet. Ke'amokam asher atah oimed olav kodeshu. Because the place that you are standing on is holy. Yas Yeshua kein, and Yeshua does so, and he takes the shoe off. And that's the end of the story. Very enigmatic story. He meets a Malach, tells him to take his shoe off. Fine. What does that have to do with the price of rice? Tea in China, right? Or rice in China, whatever. So that will have to explain all on Monday, what is the subtle message over here. Obviously, there's got to be an important message over here. And there's one last thing necessary. This is the very, very last story before the conquest of Yericho that will begin in chapter 6. So we have to understand what is the message of this very hidden story.